is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Albert Mohler is speechless. He doesn't have a thing to say today. And I mean literally, Albert Mohler has laryngitis and he can barely even whisper. So this is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. I am pretty sure that that voice is going to be back by tomorrow. I think it's kind of like the old Brady Bunch episode where Carol loses her voice, but she gets it back just in time to sing at the Christmas pageant. I think that the Mohler voice will be back just in time for Ask Anything Wednesday, but right now he can't talk. And the thing I'm worried about is I had lunch with him today, and I don't want to get it myself. Especially since I know the only person who is more of a hypochondriac than I am is Albert Mohler. So I'm going to be disinfecting and making sure that I have all of these Mohler laryngitis germs away from me over the next couple of days. But today, I want to talk about femininity, and I want to think especially about Sesame Street. I don't know how many of you grew up like I did watching Sesame Street. I mean, you know what it means to say that a broadcast has been brought to you by the letter K or whatever letter that it is of that day. But Sesame Street has a new character that they're about to roll out that the New York Times reported last week, a character by the name of Abby Cadabby. And the thing that's interesting about Abby Cadabby is that she is pink with pigtails, wide eyes, and a pastel dress. What they want is a character who's a girl, but who's a girly girl. They want a female character who is really distinctly feminine. And what I want to talk to you about today is how can we teach, how can we maintain femininity, how can we communicate to little girls, little Christian girls, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be feminine, when we're living in a world in which that's so confused. And I don't just mean by feminism, although that is confused. But I think you also have the kind of Malibu Barbie image of what it means to be a feminine little girl, what it means to be a feminine woman, which usually means to buy more stuff. Buy more jewelry, buy more perfume, buy more clothing. And how do you teach little girls, how do you teach teenage girls in your churches, how do you teach young women what it means to be a woman of grace and of godliness and of femininity in the eyes of God? I think it's a very, very difficult question right now. And if we don't think about what it means to be a woman, what it means to communicate what godly womanhood is, somebody else is going to try to communicate that. I want to know how you teach the girls in your house, or the girls in your youth group at your church, or the girls in your college ministry, what it means to be a woman. I want to hear from some of you women. What does it mean for you to truly be feminine, and how did you learn that? What were your role models? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we're going to talk about what it means to be a girl, what it means to be a woman, and what it means to honor womanhood. I also want to hear from you men. How do you think that we as men can recognize and honor, and I mean we as Christian men, can recognize and honor womanhood and femininity and really communicate the fact that this is something important. This is something that God recognizes and something that God values, something that God, even both Paul and Peter tell us, takes delight in. How do we communicate that as men, as pastors, as Sunday school teachers, as lay people within churches, as dads, as fathers? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. First, in the news, Israeli forces are pulling out of Lebanon. Slowly, cautiously, they're watching to see what will take place as Hezbollah and Israel are both supposed to be under a ceasefire. This is a situation that I'm not sure any of us can predict exactly what's going to happen next in the Middle East. And I don't know that there's anyone who can other than God. I think we all need to be recognizing, though, that whatever is about to happen in the Middle East is going to be profoundly important, not just for the next 5-10 years, but possibly for the next 100-200 years if the Lord Jesus tarries. So we will continue to watch this and watch it prayerfully. Also, the aftermath of the terrorist plot in England, the British Airways passengers, about a half of them, are missing their bags. About 10,000 bags checked in. Half of them have not yet been delivered back to their owners, the BBC reports. And frankly, that's the least of the problems that have emerged out of this terrorist plot. I think we can all just be glad that British intelligence found this, that this was stopped. It's really horrifying to even think of what the alternative might have been if this had not been identified and if this had not been taken care of. Associated Press is reporting that there is a new online dating service for monkeys. Zookeepers in the Netherlands are planning to get Dutch and Indonesian orangutans together over the internet, and it's an online dating service where apes can get to know one another and zookeepers can work out whether or not they would be compatible mates. I am not making that up. And also, NASA is reporting that it cannot find the original tape of the moon landing. U.S. government is saying, we've misplaced that tape that says one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. I think that ought to make all of us feel a lot better. If you're a man out there who has taped over your wedding video with a football game, then, you know, NASA did that too. We just can't find it. So, thankfully, we have copies. Today, I want to talk about femininity. I want to talk about what it means to be a girl, what it means to be a woman, and what it means to communicate that in a time of really, really deep confusion. You know, I really had not thought about the way that girls and women are portrayed on children's television shows until I read this New York Times report where it talks about how these Corporation for Public Broadcasting executives, the Sesame Street Network folks, are gathering together thinking about how to have a girl character. And the interesting thing to me is that you have these very politically progressive and very politically sensitive people. They don't want to offend feminist sensibilities at all. They don't want to have any type of a stereotype of what it means to be a girl. And so they say, we just decided not to have very many girls. And those of you who've watched Sesame Street, you understand there are not a whole lot of girls on there. You have Zoe, who is the kind of zany character, but that's about it. There's not a very leading female character on many of these shows, and it's because they say we just don't want to offend. We don't want to have a stereotype of what it means to be a little girl, but they're realizing there's a market out there to sell products to little girls. And what they're realizing is that little girls are wanting characters. They're wanting to buy products that are stereotypically feminine. They want frilly. They want pink. They want pigtails, and so they're going to sell it to them. Now, I'll tell you, this is disturbing to me. And as many of you know, I'm very, very critical of feminism and the egalitarian move that feminism has tried to make in American culture and has made in American culture. But on the other hand, you also have this kind of Malibu Barbie view of what it means to be a woman, that feminism has rightly said that really cheapens what it means to be a woman. I think the feminists are right about that. We shouldn't act as though what it means to be a woman is to be a hyper-consumer. What it means to be a woman is that you're somehow ditzy, that you're somehow an airhead, or that you're somehow a sex object for every man in the world. There's got to be a way that we can communicate what it means to be a woman, what it means to be feminine, what it means to be a girl, and to celebrate with our little girls in our churches and in our homes that this is a good thing that God has made you to be a woman. And this is what it means to be a woman. And frankly, we have a lot of little girls, even in our own churches, they're looking for role models for what it means to be a woman, and they're seeing those role models in their Barbie playhouses, or they're seeing those role models on television, they're seeing those role models on Britney Spears videos. How do we as churches communicate what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a little girl, what it means to be feminine in a way that says, you know, you're not just what you buy, and you're not just what the culture says you are. You're someone with dignity and worth and value and a role that is glorious. What I want to know from you is, how do you communicate that? I want to hear from you dads of daughters and moms of daughters. How do you communicate what it means to be feminine? I want to hear from some of you in your churches. How do you raise up girls in this culture who really celebrate the fact that they are created in the image of God as women, and yet they're not confused about what that means? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. When we come back, I'm going to have on the line one of my favorite theologians, Mary Cassian, who is going to talk to us about how she thinks we ought to communicate femininity in our churches. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. There are a lot of dudes who look like a lady, but there are a lot of ladies who are looking like dudes and acting like it. Question is, what does it mean to have a woman to raise up a generation of girls who understand what it means to be a woman, what it means to be feminine? You know, right now, television broadcasters and television producers are gathering around asking, how do we reach that little girl market? How do we find characters that are feminine, frilly, and pink, and pigtailed, that we can sell products to little girls? And what that tells me is that there's a market out there among little girls for little girl stuff. And it's not Gloria Steinem action figures. They really want things that they believe to be feminine and represent femininity. The problem is, I think that we've got an image of femininity, even sometimes in our churches, that is very, very shallow and vacuous. It's an image of femininity that's just nothing. It's about buying better jewelry. It's about buying more frills. It's about wearing softer perfume. It's Malibu Barbie. And I think there's another way. And that's a different way also from the kind of very hard-charging, success-driven feminist model that we see in the culture at the same time. I think we can see both of these going on in our own churches. And what does it mean to teach little girls how to be feminine in a way that is biblical and God-honoring? I want to hear from you. How do you do it? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I want to hear from women to let me know, what do you think it means to be feminine? And how do you teach that? Or maybe you're someone who says, I found a role model. I want to know what she taught you. How did you learn how to be a godly woman? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, we have one of my favorite theologians and favorite speakers and favorite authors in the world, Mary Cassian, who is distinguished professor at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. She is an author. She has written books like The Feminist Mistake, The Feminist Gospel, In My Father's House, A Conversation Piece, all kinds of books. She's a highly sought-after speaker, and I love to read her stuff, and I am so glad to have her on the line today. Mary Cassian, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Glad to be with you today.
Well, it's good to talk to you. Mary, I want to know from you. Maria and I are expecting our fourth baby in March, and I'm really hoping for a little girl. But I am a little bit scared at the possibility of having a little girl. When I walk around and see, for instance, in a department store, the kinds of clothing for little girls that really it puts little girls forward as sex objects as early as age 6 or 7.
It does. I mean, a lot of my friends complain to me about that very thing. They have a real hard time shopping for their girls because they don't want their little 10-year-old running, you know, running around in a little tank top that says porn star. And that's the type of things we see in the schools. That's the type of things that that is marketed to the young girls, you know, all the sexual type you know, that look, that sex is power, and introducing that to girls at a very young age, it's very distressing.
If you were advising a mom and a dad who have a young girl in the home, how would you advise them to talk to her and to teach her what it means to grow into womanhood?
Well, that's a big question, and that involves a lot of things. And I think that the biblical model for what a godly woman is very countercultural. And I think that it's not well understood and it's not well accepted, even in Christian circles. And that's, you know, I say that, you know, being in the church, that there's a lot of skepticism about what the Bible teaches about womanhood. And so I guess I would advise people that, first of all, you have to figure out what the Bible has to say. Like, you need to take a look and read the Word of God and hear what it has to say, because it has some very specific things to say to men, and it has some very specific things to say to women as well. And then we need to take those and we need to let that transform our own hearts and challenge our own spirits in terms of our own thoughts about what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. Compare that to what culture says, and then start to speak it and live it in our homes.
You know, someone asked me, Mary, just today, they said, if you have a little girl now or at any other time, are you going to let her play with Barbie dolls? And my initial response to that, I haven't really thought about it, but my initial response to that is, no, I don't think I'm going to buy her Barbie dolls, because I think that communicates an ideal of womanhood that is precisely the opposite of what the Apostle Peter is talking about when he talks about not braiding the hair and not putting on gold and clothing that is flashy, but cultivating that hidden person of the heart. But that's kind of a hard thing to think about, isn't it?
It is a hard thing to think about. I mean, your girl's going to want dolls. If you have a girl, she's going to want dolls. She's going to want to play with dolls. And but yeah, the type of dolls you choose for her are important. I just think I have all boys too, and you know that. And so my experience has been with boys, and I know that way back when my boys were born, you know, it was sort of the midst of feminist culture, and you were to raise all your kids gender free. And I remember we weren't going to have any objects of aggression for our boys, you know, no guns, no swords, no nothing like that.
But that didn't work out too well for you, did it?
It didn't work out too well. Like, you know, it wasn't, they weren't three before they were snapping together the big Duplo pieces and making guns and just starting to be boys. And so I think that there is a lot that God has put into our nature and our character as men and as women, you know, that we need to recognize, and we need to nurture it in a way that's honoring to Him.
I think that you make a very good point about that. Someone told me about a school that would give Barbie dolls to little boys, and they found that the little boys were taking these Barbie dolls and making them into guns and shooting with the Barbie dolls. And I think there's a way in which that natural sense of adventuresomeness in little boys, if left unattended, can become violent. And a sense in which the natural submissiveness and nurturing instinct of little girls, if left alone, can become passivity. For instance, where they're just giving in to the sexual whims of predatory males.
Well, I think that's one side of it, but there's the passivity side of it. But there's also what we see in women today, also just the highly aggressive sexual side of women. You know, we look at the movies that are presented to our culture, things like, you know, Kill Bill and where women are the tough guys, women are the protectors, women are in control, plus women are very sexual, and the sexuality is seen as power. And so that's a bending. I mean, it can be a bending of the submissiveness on the one side towards just passivity and towards accepting things that the Lord wouldn't want of them at all for women, you know, being abused. And then on the other side, a hyper-aggression and a hyper, you know, pursuing that sexuality, taking women's innate desire to be beautiful and to be recognized as beautiful and to be protected, and just twisting and distorting that.
All right, Mary Cassian, can you come back after the break to talk for a few more minutes?
Sure can.
All right, we'll be right back with Mary Cassian, but I want to hear from you also. How do you raise up girls who are neither Lara Croft Tomb Raider or Malibu Barbie? How do we teach what it means to be feminine in our churches when there's so much confusion about that out there? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. I am woman. Hear me roar. Is that what you want to communicate to the little girl who's sitting in your Sunday school class? How do we as Christians emphasize femininity when we've got a culture that doesn't understand it at all, and that includes a church culture? We think what it means to be feminine is either to be hard-charging and aggressive, kind of a Christian Ann Coulter, or to be simply beautiful and nothing much more than that, a Christian Barbie doll. What does it mean to be a woman who exhibits the glory of God in womanhood and in femininity? I'd like to hear from you. How do you communicate that? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I'd like to hear from moms and dads about how you honor womanhood and teach your girls to be feminine. I'd like to hear from some of you young women who are saying, this is how I learned to be a woman. And maybe not even young, maybe older women who say, this is how I learned what it means to be a woman. Well, what about you pastors? How do you, as you're preaching, preach and give an image of what it means to be a woman following after Christ? Dads? Does this kind of make you uncomfortable? Do you not really know what to do? Do you just leave this to your wives? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. How do we encourage and teach a Christian view of womanhood that is different from all of this cultural confusion? I have on the line Mary Cassian, who is an author, a scholar, a theologian, and she writes and speaks on this issue all the time about what it means to be a truly godly woman, a countercultural, as she says, woman. Mary, one of the things I'd like to ask you about. You mentioned a few minutes ago about aggressiveness that we see in the culture with women in movies and in music lyrics and so forth. I'm wondering about in our churches, how can we combat that? I think of, for instance, teenage girls who are calling teenage boys and that kind of thing. How do you teach girls to cultivate a submissiveness, but not a submissiveness just to any man, a submissiveness to her husband?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it starts way back when it goes into how you relate as a woman to a man.
Mm.
And that starts way back when, you know, when a child is very young. And I know with my boys, and as I say, I have three boys,
mm-hmm.
so I always taught them to relate to me as a woman, even when they were very young.
Yes.
That I would stand in front of a door and stand there and wait for them to open it. And, you
That's
know, they,
right.
There were these little guys and like 4 and 5 years old, and they're struggling with the door to get it open, but they opened the door for mommy.
Mm-hmm.
Mommy is a woman, and they are a man. And so at a very young age you can begin to teach behaviors that are womanly and that are manly, and now that's not to say that a woman can't open her own door. I mean, I'm very, very capable, and I'm, you know, independent in a lot of ways, but it's just fostering an attitude of deference, fostering an attitude in young men of looking out for and protecting the women that are in that male sphere. I know in for my young boys, for my men, young men, I expect that, you know, if there are women in the room, they will be guarding and protecting those women.
Yes.
In every way. And, you know, if there's a dirty joke that gets spoken, then, you know, I would expect that my young men would jump in and say, that's not appropriate for these women to hear, or that's not appropriate for us to be saying at all or to listen to. And so that's what I would expect of the men. And I would expect of the women, if I was raising daughters, to respect themselves and to expect to be treated as a princess, as a child of the king, and to expect to be treated well and to allow men to treat her well and to protect her and to provide that buffer, in a sense, between the rest of the world and her.
Mary Cassian, I thank you very much for being with us today. You talk sense, and I agree with what you are saying. Mary says one of the ways that she communicated what it means to respect womanhood in her own sons is by having them treat her as a mom, as a woman, to open that door for her when she comes through. I think she is exactly right, and I think that part of the problem comes in our churches and our homes. We don't really think about what it means to be a woman. What I want to know from you, how do you communicate what real godly femininity is with your girls in your church, with your young women in your church, in your home, in your community? How do we understand what it means to be woman and how that is great? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I want to hear how you do it. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. I think I'm the happiest boy in the whole USA. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. It's the Albert Mohler Program. There are a lot of girls today who may be happy, they may not be, but they're confused about what it means to be a woman. And that's because the culture gives so many shifting images. What does it mean to be a woman? Is it Paris Hilton or Janet Reno? What does it mean to be a woman? And frankly, our churches are often confused about that. And there's a huge vacuum that's being filled in all kinds of places. I want to hear from you. How do we rightly honor womanhood in our churches? How do we point out this is what it means to be a woman? This is what it means to be a godly woman. You don't have to be a model. You don't have to be a sex object. You don't have to be a hard-charging corporate executive. And you don't have to be the image of an airhead that comes over television of a woman who is just passive and completely there for whatever men have in mind. How do you communicate that? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do you encourage men to honor and to acknowledge womanhood? We have Susan on the line who is calling from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Susan, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Glad to.
I think at age 45, I'm trying to figure this out myself.
Hmm.
You know, having come up in the era of women's lib, and I'm now in a second marriage to a very godly man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think men, unfortunately, biblically speaking, they, you know, fortunately, unfortunately, they carry a lot of weight in this matter.
Sure.
Fathers do, how they model in the home, how they treat their daughters and their wives. Making it very explicit to the girls how they expect to be treated, you know, when they enter into the dating realm. I think that, you know, pastors and men in the church and fathers can, you know, take a really key role in letting our girls know, you know, what they expect, that they are supposed to be loved like Christ loved the church and treated so, and that women were raised to be a helpmeet and to be protected. And, you know, really looking at the creation story on, you know, what a woman's role is. And I think, you know, our churches are missing that, and our girls are missing that in their education. You know, not say that we are the weaker sex, but in many ways we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not emotionally and psychologically geared like men.
Right.
And we have certain inclinations towards nurturing and we need protection. And I don't think, you know, a lot of men are realizing that role.
Susan, I think you have hit on a very important point, which is the role of dads. And frankly, I think a lot of times what dads do is start to pull back. As little girls start to get older, it starts to get a little uncomfortable. You don't really know how to treat this girl who's becoming a young woman, and they pull back exactly when these young girls need their dads to love them, to protect them, and to honor them as young women. I think that is a huge need in our churches, and it's not that it's coming from some type of malice. It's coming instead from just ignorance. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to honor womanhood at all. So we think, well, as long as she's wearing a frilly dress, she's feminine. She might be feminine, but is she a godly woman? Does she understand what it means to be a woman? Well, how do you communicate that? How do we teach that? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Sharon on the line who is listening on WTBN in Tampa, Florida. Sharon, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Hi, thank you. I think that the main issue in our society today is the fact that children hear more about this from the media than they do from their own parents. I think sometimes we forget that, you know, they're seeing, you know, Paris Hilton and, you know, all sorts of people,
yes,
you know, on television and in music, and that sends a message, and we need to be just as blunt, just as straight up saying this is what real womanhood is.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Sharon. And I think one of the ways that we should do it is think about what the Apostle Peter does, for instance, in 1 Peter 3, where he points to Sarah. And he gives you an example to follow in the example of Sarah. And obviously, he's not commending everything that Sarah does. Sarah does some things that are disobedient to the Lord, but he shows you the kind of faith that Sarah has that is an example of a godly woman. I think that we need to spend time showing our boys, not just our girls, but our boys, look at this. This is what God says he thinks a godly woman is like. I spend a lot of time with my 2 5-year-olds talking to them about, I hope that you find a woman one day. I hope you find a special lady to be your wife one day who's like your mom in this way. Your mom is a godly woman. Your mom is someone who loves and respects her husband. Your mom is someone who loves the Lord. And to talk about that so that they understand what it means to think about looking and treating a woman the way a Christian man ought to, and then spending time with our girls saying to them, you know, all of these ideas of beauty isn't defined by Cosmopolitan magazine. Beauty is defined by a God who treasures you and honors you for the hidden person of the heart. We have Kendra on the line. Kendra, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Hi. I just want to start by saying I'm 23 years old, and I've been married for about 2.5 years. We've got a 15-month-old son, and I'm due in about a month with our second.
Oh, congratulations.
So we haven't been, quote-unquote, blessed with girls yet.
Okay.
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
My point in saying that is that it's sad to say that I was raised in a, quote-unquote, Christian church, but I've been married for 2.5 years, and I'm still just beginning to learn what it means to be a godly wife and a godly mother. And I just think it's sad that that's not being taught in the churches. I think that we're failing our fellow women by not obeying what the Bible says in Titus 2, that the older women are to teach the younger women how to love their husbands and children. And it's just something that we're being cheated out of. And I think part of the reason is because people are so offended. People get so offended when you talk about what biblical womanhood is, because it is countercultural.
Yeah.
And one of the truths of that has changed my attitude towards my husband, and just, I guess, compelled me to be more of the wife that I need to be, is the truth from Genesis, where God says that the woman was made as a helpmate. Mm. We weren't made to be breadwinners or equal with our husbands in that way, but we were made to be the helpmate, and whatever that means. And a result of the fall is a curse for us not to desire that.
All right. Well, Kendra says she's just learning this now. How about you? How do you communicate this? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller. This is the Albert Mueller Program. there's not a better way to end the day than with some Aretha Franklin. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Question is, are we giving respect to our young girls and women as women created in the image of God in our own churches, especially when the culture is right now talking about how do we market things to little girls? I think that is showing us that there is a confusion of what it means to be feminine. How do we reach our little girls and show them we don't expect you to be Paris Hilton, when we don't expect you to be some type of a man. We expect you to be godly women, and that is wonderful. We have David, who is calling from Phoenix, Arizona. David, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. I appreciate you letting me talk.
Glad to.
I think it's important as a man. I feel that it's important to raise up young men, small boys, to respect their mothers and respect their sisters. And then again, with girls, don't let them accept anything less than special treatment. I think that's part of the key, is to have men accept responsibility.
I think you're right about that, and I think that that has to happen at a very, very early age. You can't just suddenly turn around and say to a college student, you need to respect women. I think you need to start very early on, as we've already mentioned, when you have toddlers, teaching them, you know, you're not going to disrespect your mother because she's your mother, but you're also not going to disrespect your mother because she's my wife. And if you disrespect her, you've disrespected my wife, and I'm going to deal with you as your dad, but I'm also going to deal with you as her husband. And you need to see this as something that is important for you. I think Mary's comment about teaching her young boys to hold a door open for her, that is profoundly important in ways that we don't even recognize. And I think another thing that we need to keep in mind is the way that we communicate beauty. And I think that's true in our churches as well. I mean, so often you see evangelistic crusades and testimonies, and the people who are giving the testimonies, when it's a woman, it always is someone who conforms to the cultural standards of beauty. I think we need to instead turn our girls toward what, for instance, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, not toward the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, the putting on of clothing, instead to the cultivation of the hidden person of the heart, he says, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious, is very beautiful. Do we really communicate that to little girls? This is beautiful in the eyes of God. And to little boys to say, this is the kind of woman that you ought to be looking for, that you ought to protect, that you ought to provide for. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program. Albert Mueller will be back tomorrow for Ask Anything Wednesday.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmueller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmueller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.